from patching jeans to replacing phone screens, more and more Americans are trying to prolong the life of things they own and not just replace them. It's all about being a responsible consumer in the face of climate change. But NPR's Chloe Veltman reports some policies, or lack of them, can stand in the way.
Americans are responsible for throwing out more stuff than any other nation in the world. According to the Public Interest Research Group, people in this country generate more than 12% of the planet's trash, though we represent only 4% of the global population.
We keep going at this pace and we'll reach the heat death of the Earth in a few hundred years.
That's Adam Savage. He's the host of Tested, a popular YouTube channel aimed at people who like to make things. Savage's videos often show him picking up stuff he finds lying around on the streets of San Francisco.
That is a nice chunk of steel. Maybe I could make something out of it.
And he can repair almost anything. The professional tinkerer was busy mending his lathe the day NPR dropped in for an interview. The hulking machine that shapes wood and metal occupies a corner of Savage's cavernous workshop.
I am about to pull this whole tailstock apart, remachine a new threaded rod with a finer thread, which then I have to harden and install back in here.
Throwing things away comes with an environmental cost. Manufacturing processes and decomposing products in landfills emit significant levels of climate warming pollution. Some materials, like plastic, never decompose. Adam Savage says it's time human beings reminded themselves that throwaway culture is a relatively new phenomenon. It started about 100 years ago with the rise of mass manufacturing.
We have been repairers and restorers for millennia longer than we've been profligate thrower-outer of things.
Most of us don't have Savage's drive for extreme DIY. Nevertheless, the appetite for fixing things is on the rise in the US and globally. Online how-to videos are getting hundreds of thousands of hits.
Here are five things you need to know before you repair your own iPhone.
And people are flocking to community repair workshops in cities across the country. Those started to take off here around 2009.
What's your name, sir?
I'm Daniel.
Daniel Leong is among the crowds attending one such event at the San Francisco Public Library. The San Francisco resident has brought in two bikes. His wife's has a flat tire. His son's malfunctioning brakes.
We don't know much about repairing bikes. We just ride it every so often.
A basic bike tune-up in San Francisco can cost well over $100. Leong says he's a fan of Fix-It Days because the service is free. But it's about more than the unbeatable price.
It also gives us an opportunity to learn more about bicycles and a chance to see how they're fixed.
Sean Rosenmoss is a senior environmental specialist with the San Francisco Department of the Environment. Her organization is partnering with the library on Fix-It events around the city.
We, of course, want to reach as many people as we can and bring them into this environmental climate conversation.
She's heartened not only by the public's interest in mending and fixing things, but also by some manufacturers' efforts to promote the repair of their own products, like Patagonia and Levi's. But Rosenmoss says some things, like bikes and clothing, are easier to fix than others, particularly things that contain computer chips. Where devices such as phones, microwave ovens and cars are concerned, Rosenmoss says it'll take more than getting people to watch DIY videos and attend Fix-It clinics to save the planet.
There's this cultural shift, and then there is the policy work that has to be done. They have to go hand in hand.
What Rosenmoss means by policy work is legislation that empowers people to fix things themselves or do so through a repair provider of their choice. So-called right-to-repair legislation is focused on getting manufacturers to provide consumers and independent repair companies access to their parts, tools and service information. Gay Gordon Byrne is the executive director of the Repair Association. Her consumer advocacy group has spent more than a decade pushing manufacturers to make it easier for people to fix their products. She says the repair offerings corporations typically provide are either inconvenient or expensive, or both.
They are not in the business of fixing stuff. They would rather your stuff falls apart and dies and you have to go back to the store.
Gordon Byrne says mounting pressure from groups like hers, as well as the growing interest in fix-it culture, have started to force reluctant manufacturers to make repairs more accessible. Dozens of right-to-repair bills are working their way through the legislative process and have passed in a few states, like New York, where starting later this year, small consumer electronics will have to be repairable by law.
So Apple, as an example, will have to be selling parts and tools and providing diagnostic functions that they didn't want to provide.
But these bills face stiff opposition. David Edmondson is the Vice President of State Policy and Government Relations for TechNet. The Tech Sector Trade Association represents companies like Apple, Google, and Toyota.
Our concerns are that the bills are going to mandate that manufacturers provide unvetted third parties with sensitive diagnostic information, tools, and parts without requiring any of the critical consumer protections that are afforded by authorized repair networks like training and competency certification.
Edmondson says, nevertheless, manufacturers are listening to their customers. For instance, companies like Apple and Samsung recently expanded their self-repair programs and network of independent service providers. At Fix My Phone SF, a neighborhood electronics repair store in San Francisco, owner Michael Gadea says he's been fixing smartphones since they came on the market around 15 years ago.
At the beginning, of course, very difficult to obtain. Now there's much easier, of course.
But Gadea says he's seen a dip in his phone repair business over the past year, owing to manufacturers offering ever more tempting deals to customers to trade in their old products for shiny new ones.
Kind of still complicated. If you buy your phone, it's your phone, you paid for it, and they should have no right to tell you what to do with it.
He says customers always ought to have the power to choose whether and how to repair their stuff. Chloe Veltman, NPR News.